day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And later on, you can start the recording. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning of verse number 1. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." I want to preach to you the lamp, the word, and the vision. The lamp, the word, and the vision. One more scripture in your hearing is Luke chapter number 1 and verse 79. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. The Bible says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Lord's desire is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You can just minimize that screen as you go on. I want you to close your eyes right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got to get out of darkness. It's not your will that any of us should live in darkness. For no direction. No hope for our future. Not knowing where we need to go. It is your desire to give us vision, to light our path, to give us an expectation of what your glorious will is for our lives. We're not here on accident. None of us are accidents at all. Sometimes, oh God, we don't know our way. And as a result, we make bad decisions. But the Holy Ghost wants to lead us. The Holy Ghost wants to direct us. The Holy Ghost wants to empower us. So be a light today. Give revelation today. Speak to our hearts today. Now clap your hands if you believe it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe you're going to speak to us. Praise God. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. We live in very difficult times. We live in a day where there are so many people who are blind and are living in complete darkness and confusion to what life is about. People in this day can't seem to find the grasp on what things are actually real. Look at technology. It has absolutely exploded and it dictates the day. Social media has connected us to many things, and of course, There are many pros to social media, but there is another side to that as well. People can get overly concerned about what other people think about them. Overly concerned with other people's opinions and allow others to steer their own lives. Right now, today, people are having a hard time grasping what should be the main priority in their lives because there's so much pulling at them and vying for their attention. Can I get an amen? Should my family be my main priority? Should my career, should my happiness, my health, my social life, my credit score? It's like there's nothing, praise God, that gives us but a sense of fog over us. And because of it, so many things bring darkness that nothing that we do brings a sense of understanding about who we are and what truly makes life worth living. Many people, and that includes people in the church as well, struggle with self-worth. It's not based on what they have done many times, but most likely it's based on what they feel they have not done. It's based on their inability to see what they have done is actually worth anything at all, and mainly focus on the lack that they perceive about their current state right now. It's based on the feeling that their current state of life is somehow insignificant and it hangs on them like a heavy weight. It swirls on them like a dark cloud and it keeps them in a place of wandering rather than living and having clear direction to where should my energy be focused on. Have you ever had to get up in the middle of the night and you were sleepy and off balance and you're in the dark, but you don't want to turn on the light, fearing it will wake you up and then allow you to go back to sleep? But you find out real quick that you don't know your way around as well as you thought you did. Now you found a sharp toy between your toes, a bruise on your chin. Or like someone I know real recently sitting in the back row that had a fight with their vacuum a few weeks ago because they refused to turn on the light. A lot of wrong decisions take place when you are in darkness, not having the ability to navigate properly. And a lot of bad decisions are made not because we want our lives to be a disaster, but we made these decisions because we were unable to see which way we should go, and we direct our own lives. But the problem is we usually steer in the wrong direction. And so today the Lord wants to help us out of this darkness. He wants to remove the clouds of doubt and the insecurities on the inside that we have. He wants us to see how much worth and how much value we do have as we are walking according to what He has prepared for us. The place of no direction is over. The place of self-sabotage is over. The place of feeling like I'm worthless is over. If I know that Jesus is leading me, then it's not about me anymore. It's about God. Where you lead, I will follow. And as long as you are following King Jesus, then you have your self-worth, because He's a King of kings. He is a Lord of lords. He is a greater source of power and security that there is. And we find in our scripture that something was so needed, and it was a word from the Lord. And it was precious. We need to understand why the word precious was used. It was used because it meant that the word of God was limited, or the word of God was rare. And the problem was during this time was the time of the judges. And the main issue, as I taught you about the book of Judges, is that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And as a result, the God, praise God of this world, praise God, the God of glory, wasn't speaking into the lives of the people at that time. He said that they choose not to heed the word of God and value the word of God. And then the Lord says, fine, I'll just then withhold my word. If you don't want my word, I won't deliver my word. And the word of God was precious because they weren't getting much of it. It's like if you are in a serious drought or stuck in the middle of a desert somewhere, water is very precious because it is very little of it, but you need it very badly. And so why is the word of God so precious? Because we understand from the beginning that it was the word of God that brought the world into existence. When scripture states that God created the heaven and the earth, that is what he said. He said, I know how to create something out of nothing. And maybe you're here right now and you feel like you are nothing. Then let me tell you, that's why we need a word from God. Because God can turn nothing into something. God can turn the things that you have fear about and produce something in the middle of nothing. Later, that same word, bara, is used for cutting down or clearing the way. And so God is saying, there's some areas you want to break out of, but there's too much damage, too much trees, too much issues in front of you. Well, he says, I'll still speak a bara word in your life, and I will cut down the barriers. I will cut down the walls. I will cut down the things that will be in your way. I will create a clearing for somebody to walk in places you've never walked before. By yourself, you can't get through. By yourself, you can't navigate. But when the bara word gets into your life, God says, I'll clear out the distractions. I'll clear out the things that are presently in your way. Is there anybody glad that you serve a God that can speak a word and clear the way for you to walk the way you want to walk? Let me tell you, you cannot do it by yourself. And that's why I raise my hand and say, God, give me a borrow word and clear the path for me to walk in the way that I cannot do by myself. The word of God is so precious because it makes things that are impossible possible. Every time you come in the house of God, we're saying, God, I have limitations. I have impossibilities. I got things I can't move by myself. But I know the word of God is a God that can speak a word to make things possible. Ask Abraham if the word of God doesn't turn impossible things into possible things. Ask David if he was able to defeat Goliath without the word of God. Ask Moses if the word of the Lord can't bring deliverance. Ask the Shunammite woman who knew that God could bring back her son from the dead. Ask anybody who understood, if I hear the word of God, everything is going to be all right. Ask Daniel, who was in the middle of a lion's den and knew the word of God could shut the mouth of the lion. And ask the disciples who were in the middle of a storm, and Jesus stood up and he said, peace, be still. Why is the word of God powerful? Because it will not be stopped by anything. God's word can do the impossible. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God. Anytime the man of God is preaching the word of God, or the woman of God is preaching the word of God, you say it's not just the pastor, praise God, but it is the word that's coming down from heaven. And then the Bible says, which if
effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let me add something. If you don't believe the word of God, it's not going to work for you. But for those that do believe, it will work effectually. It's going to do what it said it has the power to do. Are there any believers that say, I believe in the word of God? If God speaks a word in my life, I know it will move every mountain. I believe in the word of God. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall. I said it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. And say, Lord, I don't want to drown. I want the word of God to come down and speak into my life. If God says it, it shall happen. For God says, thy word is forever settled in heaven. I want a word from God.
But the Israelites found themselves in a place where the word of God was not coming on a regular basis. And that led to something else. When you're not getting the word of God on a regular basis, it will lead to other things happening in a negative way. The next part of the verse says, there was no open vision. That means there was no aspirations of what could be. No promises to look forward to. Nothing to hope for. No expectation. And this is why many people are so hateful. This is why so many people have so much anger on the inside of them. Resentment on the inside of them. And bitterness and jealousy and frustration and are tired all the time, and they're nothing but hopeless, and they're always sick, and they're fault finders, and they are critics, and they are pessimists, and they're insecure, and they're full of worry, and that is the name of few. And the reason why is they don't have a vision of what God wants to do in them. And that's why I say, God, I can't be in that place. I gotta have a vision of what you can do in my life. I've got to have a vision of what I can be. I gotta have a vision of where you to take me, and I cannot be worried about my neighbor and what they got. God bless them for what they got, but I want what you got for me. God, give me a vision, oh God, of what you want in my life. When I think of a vision, I think of the possibilities beyond of what I see right now in the natural. When I think of a vision, I think of greater things to yet have obtained in my life and to possess. Is there anyone here that has a vision about your tomorrow? Maybe your yesterday wasn't the best, and maybe you're going through some things today. But today I pray you will get a vision of what your tomorrow could be in the hands of a loving God. Let me tell you, there's a plan that God has for your tomorrow, and you should say, yes, God, that's what I want. I'm not satisfied with where I am, God. I got too many things in my way. I got too many problems, but you give me a vision of what my tomorrow can be. I can get excited. If you give me a vision of what my future will be, I can shout hallelujah. Can you today envision yourself free from that lost cause? Can anyone envision yourself victorious from the current trial that you are in? Let me tell you right now, you got current trials, you got current problems, but can you envision it being different? Can you envision something breaking out of your spirit? Can you envision walking, praise God, with an it's go get better mentality? I know I'm not everything I want to be right now, but I got a vision of where God is taking me. I got a vision, and I'm excited about it. Can you envision seeing yourself defeating that hurdle? Can you envision getting over that thing that was to keep you down? Can you envision yourself walking, overcoming your trial today? Is there anybody, can you envision that degree in your hand? Can you envision yourself getting that job title?
Can you envision getting your healing and your deliverance? Can you envision getting your breakthrough? Or do you see yourself stuck? I come to you with a word and say, if God can give you a vision, it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. You understand, my breakthrough is coming. My open door is coming. This is my hour. This is my season. Yeah, I'm applying for that new job. I'm about to get promoted. Yes, I'm praying that prayer again. God's going to heal my mind. Yes, I'm believing for backslide to come back. Yes, my wife will be saved. Yes, my kids, I'm on. Do you have a vision of a better marriage, of a better tomorrow? Get a vision in what God can do in your life. You got to see it. I know we're in independence, but can you see yourself out of poverty? Can you see yourself out of debt? It ain't God's will. I don't care your family background. I don't care what job you have. God says you are the head and not the tail. And we believe that here in this church. I believe somebody will come out of debt this year. Will come out of bankruptcy this year. And we'll go forward in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sorry. That's about 8 of you that believe. That's about 20 of you that's looking at me like I stole something. But for yourself, you're going to say, that's for me. That's for me. That's for me. My future is going to be different. My future is going to be better. Can you envision yourself preaching to thousands out of prison? Can you envision preaching the word of God? Can you believe that more countries will be calling your name? Come on, for your own family. Do you believe that you're going to be singing the praises of God, walking in your degree? Do you believe you are walking in the favor of Almighty God? Do you believe you're always going to be sick or say, I am well. I'm going forward. God is doing it in my life. I believe it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be a doctor. That's right. Yeah, I'm coming out of poverty. Yeah, I'm going to be a worshiper. Yeah, I'm going to be a praiser. I'm excited because God is giving me a vision. Where I am now is not where I'm always going to be. God is taking me further. Someone say yes. Can you envision a healthy marriage? Yes. Can you envision being a successful single? Yes. Come on, somebody. It's going to happen if you can envision it. The Bible says, where there is no vision, people perish. Suicide is all around us. What do they say in their letters? Just not worth it anymore. There's nothing to live for anymore. You can't commit suicide when you got a vision. I can't be depressed. I got a vision from God. I have a great... Does anybody believe that you got a great future in the house of God? You got a great future. I'm telling you right now, you got a great future. I said you got a great future. I said you got a great future. You can live today because your tomorrow is going to be better. I know it hurts right now. I know you've been through a storm. I know you're frustrated. But you got a future because God will give you a vision if you can believe it. And it's not his will that any should perish. So I got to put a vision inside of you. I want this church that says we have a vision of what we can be. And I pray that today God will give us a vision that we would not do what's right in our own eyes, but we would be in pursuit of the visions of God. I can't see things correctly of myself. I want God to give me a vision. I don't want even my own self aspirations. He said, if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. I don't know what I really need, but God does. And so I'm seeking your face. And as I seek your face, I can get up and say, I got a purpose to fulfill. When I get up, I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it by myself, but after I get up on my altar, there's something that pierced my soul. I said, it's fire shut up in my bones, and I can't keep it inside. I gotta walk towards what God has given me. When I lead myself, I fall into a cliff. Am I preaching to anybody here today? When I do it my own way, I mess it up. And so I want your vision. I want your will. I want your plan.
I want vision from God that would turn my thinking around. Paul was passionate about killing the Christians. In his mind, his intentions were correct. And in our mind, sometimes we think our intentions are correct. But God had to show up and say, your vision ain't the right one. And you're killing things you shouldn't be killing. You're killing things that you should be protecting. You're killing things that you should be edifying and uplifting. And you think you're doing it because you have the right intentions. But I need you to get off your vision and get off your high horse and get off your pride and off of what you think is right and be knocked off of your high horse and knocked off of your pride and say, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus is going to show up and say, I'm going to show you something different. And until you see it my way, I'm going to blind you for a moment. So right now, some of you are blind because you've been doing it your way. And God says, okay, I'm going to shut things off for a while until you humble yourself and say, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he got in a position to say, your will be done, then God sent him to Ananias, and the scales were put off of him, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And now a good portion of the New Testament, y'all ain't hear me, revelation was given to somebody that says, not my will, but thine will be done. Aren't you tired of walking in darkness? Then say, God, not my will, but thine will be done. And watch revelation and watch direction. And does anybody need a strategy? I don't know about you. I need a strategy. I'm just asking, am I the only one that needs a strategy? I need to know which way to go. Am I preaching to anybody here? I need thee, Lord. Order my steps. I need thee, Lord. Open up the right doors and shut up the wrong ones. But I might go walk one more day without you. I need thee. Come on, somebody, raise your hand and say, I need thee. Shall I need thee? Can I go a little bit deeper? When I get a vision from God, what are the limits? When it comes from the heart of God, who can stand against me? If God before me, if God has given me a vision, if God has placed a desire in my heart to be better than what I was, then I can't even stop what God wants to do in my life. And I'm about to go to a new season now because I'm not living for myself. I'm walking in the visions of God. The lamp is guiding my footsteps this morning. And then we see the Bible says, ere the lamp of God went out. I'm so embarrassed. This is where, I'm going to tell you why. This is where the Israelite people found themselves in our text today. They were limited. They were frustrated. and they hit a dead end road. Anybody ever feel like that? I'm hitting a dead end road. I have no ump. I have no passion. I have no push. I have no drive. I don't have any of that. Just like the scripture says about them. But scripture says this about Eli. One night, Eli, whose eyes was becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place. Do you see what happens when you have no vision? You're going to barely be able to see, and you'll be lying down in your usual place of spiritual laziness and comfort because you don't see where God's trying to take you. Because he had no vision, his eyes were becoming weak. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why am I losing my sight? Because you got no vision. You're not a part of nothing bigger than yourself. And so you'll find yourself in that same usual position of lying down and taking so much stuff. His physical position spoke of a spiritual condition. Sometimes your physical positions and attitudes are mirroring what's going on in the spiritual world of your life. He could barely see because he had no vision. But something was about to happen. And the Bible says, because ere the lamp of God went out. See, why am I embarrassed? Because for years I preached that that meant the lamp of God went out. And I went a little bit deeper in my study. And that's not what it means at all. Doesn't mean the lamp of God went out. It meant the lamp of God, on the contrary, was still burning. Because they followed the principle of Leviticus 24 and 2. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. So I might not have a vision. I might have had some lack in some areas. But one thing I'm going to keep on doing is keeping the fire lit and keeping the fire burning. I must keep the door open to allow God to give me direction. Yes, I haven't done everything right. But what I say I can and have done right is I keep my eyes towards the Lord. I'm still praising Him. I don't have all the direction. I don't have everything lined up, but I'm still in the house of God. There's still a fire in my... Is there anybody here that's... I might not know all the direction, but I kept my light on. I'm still in the house of God. I'm still showing up. I got it all, not all together, but I'm still here. And when you keep that door open, watch what God says. I know there's no vision, but you kept on showing up. I know there's no vision, but you kept coming in the house of God and you kept calling on Him and everything ain't right, but you kept that lamp burning. Can I tell somebody? Because the fire is still burning inside of you and the lamp has not, you said, it's not burning bright. At least it's still on, somebody. I know you've been through some mess and you've been through heavy circumstances, but if you're still here, I'm going to tell you that light ain't off yet. I'm telling you there's still something on the OI for the Holy Ghost. There's got to be still something. And don't let the devil lie to you. You might have came in here limping. You might be limping, but the lamp is still shining bright. And there's still a desire for God. Is there anybody that says, yes, I might be limping, but there's still a desire for God in my soul. I might have to crawl to get here, but there's still something inside of me. I got to be in the house of God to light the fire of God's Spirit. And because the light was still on, even through times of darkness, as long as there was oil, revelation still can come. Hear me right now. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is what we need in this hour. We need a word and we need a vision. Revelation like never before. But before we get that, we got to have the oil. It is the oil that represents the anointing that destroys yokes. Yokes are things that are our bondages. The yoke are things that are choking the life out of us. The yokes are the things that have attached themselves to our neck and that keep us steered and controlled outside of what God thinks. But the anointing that's here in the house of God this morning is going to destroy every yoke by the power of the name of Jesus. It is the oil that sets up a fresh start for somebody. It is the oil that allows us to believe again and get excited that I can go into new places. And those that have been anointed, the priests that were covered by the oil, were able to go into the holies of holies. Those are those who are anointed, will walk in kingly steps. And when you get the oil of the Holy Ghost I'm preaching about this morning, and you allow it to manifest its work in your life, then no thing can stop you from progressing into the holies of holies. Because when there is an anointing upon you, there is a covering upon you. The Bible also shares with us that the anointing oil represented like a shepherd that anointed the head of their sheep with oil. Now this was not just a symbolism or a ritual. Sheep are easy targets for flies and for lice and for ticks. And sheep that was not covered in oil on his head could easily become the victim of infestations of these pests. However, it wasn't just a nuisance. It wasn't just annoying. But bugs would crawl through the ear canal of the unoiled sheep and nest inside their brain and eating away at their brain. And the pain from those bugs would be so severe on the sheep that the sheep would literally bang their head against the rocks and bang their head against the trees and bang their heads against their fellow sheep and bang their heads on all type of things that wasn't a problem to begin with. I hope I'm not preaching too deep right now, because the anointing was not upon them. They were beating themselves in frustration, and many of you right now, you're beating your head up against so many things. You're beating your head against your problems. You're beating your head against your husband or your wife. You're beating your head against your finances or your health. Can I tell you there's something deeper going on? But when you get the anointing says, when you got your anointing upon me, when you're trying to beat your head against something, it's going to slide off, because thou anointest my head with oil. Can I tell somebody, when you got the Holy Ghost, it's going to run off of you. When you got the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to affect you. Am I preaching anybody here today? That's why I tell you, God, we need your anointing, because your anointing will stop stuff that's been messing up my mind. I'm not going to let it get in my head. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's some things that won't get in your head, because the anointing of God is upon your life. And when I got the anointing, you ain't going to touch me like you used to. You ain't going to affect me like you used to. You ain't get in my head like you used to. The enemy cannot take me out. I'm anointed. Cuts. Sheep live out in the outdoors. Barbed wires, thistles, rocks, sticks, predators, all these things are not kind to that sheep. And even in the greenest pastures, there's hazards. So shepherds check their sheep each day, sometimes morning and evening, to look at the wounds
that need attention. He sees what you ran into. He sees the temptations that came your way. He sees the pits that you fell into. He knows your cuts. He knows your scars. Am I talking to anybody? He knows your bruises. He knows things that has cut you deep. Emotional. Am I preaching in the Holy Ghost right now? I don't want to just preach a message. I'm trying to break up some stuff. Because we're manifesting because of the cuts and bruises and the hurts and the pains of our past and things that have been spoken to us in this hard world. Like sheep, we got things and people that are cutting us every which way. We got so many things trying to harm us, just like a sheep. And so the good shepherd says, come on over here. The good shepherd says, come on over here, Brother Wilson. The good shepherd says, I cannot leave you in that place. I got to look you over. I got to say, I see where you got cut by that thing. I see where you got cut by that thing. I see the issues in your head. I see the problems facing your heart. I see where you've been bruised. I see where you've been cut. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? I see where you failed. I see where you're hurting. I see where you lack. But I'm not going to leave it like that. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to heal you. Right now, Jesus wants to anoint somebody. Right now, Jesus wants to anoint somebody. Raise your hands right now. Raise your hands right now. Let the good shepherd inspect you right now. Let him inspect you. Let him see where you're bruised. Let him see your scars. Let him see your wounds today. Let me look at the lies that stopped you. Let me look at the mistakes that stopped you. Let me show you the anointing is greater than what's trying to hinder you. Let me tell you the oil is a cure to your disease. The oil. The oil. The lamp needs the oil. The lamp needs the oil. And because the lamp was lit, the Bible says to Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I would do a thing in Israel. I know I've been quiet. I know you had no direction. I know you felt all by yourself. But because the lamp was burning, God shows up and gives a vision to the man of God. God shows up and says, I'm about to do a thing. I can't even give you all the specifics. I can't even put it all in writing. I can't even tell you what I'm about to do. But I'm telling you, I'm about to impregnate somebody with a vision. Lift your hands right now. He's saying, behold, I will do a thing in your life. I'm going to speak a word into your situation. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do a new thing in your life today. Here comes a vision for somebody. As you're standing right now, I can't tell you everything, but it will be a thing. And now there's an expectation in Israel. It's been quiet for a long time, God. I've had no visions for a while, God. But I kept showing up. I let the Holy Ghost work. And now God has positioned me to receive a thing in my life. Behold denotes, look. Start looking for what I'm about to do. Start looking for that answer. Start looking, Sister Cheryl, for that strategy. Start looking and watch how God is going to do a thing. You won't even be able to explain it. You will just say, it was a thing that God did. It wasn't me. I just kept my lamp. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Somebody's been in dark for too long. The light's about to shine in your life. And the darkness is not going to comprehend what happened in your life. The darkness is not going to know what hit them. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. All men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Revelation revealed. Lift your hands right now. Psalm 119:105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I speak right now in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God and the angel of this house, that lights are going to start showing up in your life, and revelation is going to start showing up in your life. And you're living your life with anticipation and expectation. And you're calling on God in prayer because you're ready to receive His revelation inside of your heart. And you're not going to sit in darkness anymore. And you're not going to walk in darkness anymore. And that's why it says in our opening verse in Luke 1:7-9, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Death been all around you, and depression and darkness have been all around you. But the Lord says, my light will guide your feet into the way of peace. So right now I speak peace by the authority of the Word of God. I speak it with authority. I say it right now, darkness, be gone. Let there be light. Some of you are already getting it. Let there be light. I'm tired of walking in darkness. I'm tired of walking with a dark cloud. Let there be light. Come on, somebody, open up your mouth and say, let there be light. The Holy Ghost wants to loose itself right now. Lift your hands and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And let the Holy Ghost oil up the lamp that's in your heart and in your life. The Holy Ghost wants to burn inside of you and give you direction right now.